You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
So welcome if you found the Westside. We're so grateful you've arrived today. If you've known about the Westside for a long time, you made it. You made it to church. I always say that's a good thing, right? I like feeling like I got something big to go to. I got something to give myself to. And I love coming, and I want to just thank you for being here. Thank all the worship team, all those that put so much time and effort into making this an awesome worship service. Amen. Recently, we've been asking for a lot of people to come and help with our children's ministry. We know that Chuka just had his little baby Chuka was born, and we have more babies that have been born in the church. And we're, you know, in Westside, we don't have a ton of young families, although we used to. It sort of migrates and changes. But it's been really tough to get a lot of volunteers for the children's ministry. Got me thinking. We all need to find a place in our life where we're serving in a great way. And so our college students have been doing this training, our college leaders, and they've been studying the book of Daniel. And I thought, you know what, we need a little series on serving and on Daniel. And Daniel is such a phenomenal biblical historical figure who lived in a time when, of course, the nation of Israel had been overrun by the Babylonian Empire. Right, and he lived in Babylon, which is sort of like the darkness and the worldliness and the distractions of the world. But he became not only a servant of the temporal kings, but he, through it all, was a servant of his true king, God Almighty. Amen? So today, we're going to begin a new series entitled Enter the King's Service. Hey, guys. Okay. Enter the King's Service. So we got a new clicker, so we're like, this is going to work, right? It's all going to work, no problem. I'm going to test it. Hold on. I'm going to go back a slide. Okay, there we go. Forward. Yes, there we go. Okay, come on, guys. New slide's working. Enter the King's Service. So we're going to do three parts, and we're going to study this historical figure, and I want him to inspire you because in some sense, we live in our own Babylon in America, right? We live in a place that's distracting. A lot of us can be very distracted. We're gonna go through three movements here in three different weeks. Today is entitled Own It. Next week will be Whose Glory Do We Serve For? And the last is Give Your Best. And we do live in a very distracting world, don't we? There's so many things that grab our time and grab our attention. We can be so busy. Many of us have not only a full-time 10-hour-a-day job, but we have side hustles to try to pay the bills. You guys know what I'm talking about? There's lots of things that distract us. It's good to stay busy, but God says if you're too busy for Him, you're just simply too busy. Amen? And a lot of us, and forgive me today, I think the heat has caused a little post-nasal allergy drip here. If I cough a lot, forgive me. I can feel it right now. Yes. I don't know if any of us is feeling it. I talked to a bunch of young guys like, I got the same thing. I don't think the heat came up. The pollen's lifted. I don't know what it is, but forgive me if you hear me coughing a little bit. Okay, so this gets me thinking, when and how do we serve? One of the big things with that is if we own the situation, we're more willing to be involved in solving the problem. I don't currently own the house we rent right now here on the West Side, but out in the Inland Empire where we lived, I did own the house. And, you know, when something happened to the house, I had to fix it and pay for it. Whereas when something happens now, I call my landlord, say, hey, you know, there's a little leak on the ceiling. And he calls and he pays, right? He solves the problem. But when you own it, you have to solve the situation. You take full responsibility. The other cool thing is when you own it, you can add to it, make it awesome, right? The one thing about not owning your house is, you know, when we moved in, we asked if we could paint it a certain color and they agreed. Of course, we paid for the paint and all that. But when you own, you can upgrade however you want, right? I remember when we lived in the Inland Empire, we were like, you know, we want to put an addition in. Carrie's mom's going to move in. We want to take care of her. So you know what? I hired the architect. I hired the builders. I pulled aside some money, and I took ownership of adding a little spare room onto the house, right? It's awesome when you take ownership of something. But when you're just a tenant, you don't always take ownership. And so today, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of owning the mission of God, owning the mission of God. And here's one thing I want you to understand, all right? Jesus did not rescue us merely to attend his church. He calls us to participate in the mission, right? So if there's one thing you need to know today, is you are an essential part of Christ's holy, of Christ's body and his holy mission on this earth, right? And the one thing I want us to do today is to take ownership of one ministry need and one person's spiritual growth, all right? We've talked in the past about this in terms of staying connected, caring about training, caring about discipleship, and I know a great number of you already take ownership of ministry needs. Thank you for that. So my calling today for all of us is to look at really the heart behind why we do that. Do we truly own it? And if you haven't had that opportunity, if you've not been thinking that way, I hope this is a nudge in the right direction in your faith. Amen. You know, when we think about ownership, unfortunately, many people think the wrong way about participating in church. Some of us see it more as a customer, right? I'm a customer. What am I getting? And you know what? We all get something. I get a lot from coming to church. I love the fellowship. When I'm not preaching, I love hearing a great lesson. It inspires me. But the reality is, the way we enter in and the questions we ask say a lot about the way we're perceiving that environment. Some of us, you know, we see church, maybe you're an employee, right? What is required of me? If you're an employee, you kind of ask, what do I have to do just to get by? Like, what's the minimum requirement? But when you own it, right? When you're the owner of the mission of God, you ask the question, what does the mission need from me? Many years ago, I took the family on a vacation. This is when I lived in the Inland Empire in the suburbs. And we went on a vacation. A friend had let me stay at his beach house, a very nice friend. But you know, that vacation week was in the middle of the week that we left, and Sunday came up and I wasn't at my own service. So on my vacation, of course, I wasn't gonna come to my own service as a minister. My vacation was, I wanted a little break from the normal ministry day-to-day stuff. So I went to the Orange County ministry that wasn't that far away, a sister ministry of ours. And I remember thinking, no, I'm on vacation. I'm just gonna slide on in and I'm gonna sit in the back. And I'm not, you know, I'm just gonna slide in, sit in the back, and that's it. Just hear a message and then head out. And I remember so distinctly how much I hated church that day. I was so critical. I came in, I sat there, and I knew a lot of the people, you know, at the church, because, you know, it's a sister church of ours, but I just didn't tell them I was coming because I was on vacation, so I slid on in. And I remember just thinking, how come the singing's that way? And why is that looked that way? They should fix that. And it occurred to me, because I came in as a consumer, I began to be critical of everything going on. Whereas normally when I'm here with you guys, I'm here like, hey, what can we do better? Oh, I love those singers. Hey, look at these new people. It's awesome to be here. And I'm thinking of things that we can improve and how each week it can get better and what we might fix or little things like that. And it's awesome. And I usually fill my life, you know, just totally fulfilled by all the energy of giving and serving and being a part of it. But when you don't own something, you can too easily become a critic. Amen. And so it's important for us as people to approach church with the right kind of mindset. Daniel, we're going to study right now. Daniel was captured in Jerusalem and shipped to Babylon. But he knew that he was serving the true king through all the things he goes through. And I want to dig in now, beginning in Daniel chapter 1. Let's read together. It says, this is after the Babylonian Empire had taken a lot of the young nobles and brought them to Babylon. So that's where we're going. They'd conquered Jerusalem. They turned it into like a vassal state. And the king was presiding over all the land from his throne room in Babylon. And Daniel was one of the young nobility that had been captured and brought to Babylon. So it says, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Please, please test yourself for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So what happened? Daniel had resolved himself to not cater to the culture that he was in. He had made a decision that his identity was settled before his role was assigned. He belonged to God Almighty. And here he is with all the distraction around him. And he says, I'm still going to hold to my principles. I'm going to do what I know God wants me to do, even amidst all the distractions. You know, this is an important point for all of us to hold on to. Our culture is going to be changing, right? AI is changing things. Society is changing. Sometimes things are up, sometimes things are down. That's like the stock market, right? We don't know who's going to win the World Cup today. You may want the team that wins to win and you'll be happy. You may not want them, you'll be sad. You're going to have ups and downs for very superficial reasons. But your identity has to come from something beyond all the distractions. And your willingness to serve the king comes because you learn to belong to the right king. And so that's my first point today to you, is to belong to the king, the true king. When you know whom you belong to, it changes how you live and how you serve. Like Daniel, I'll just share this one thing. I remember before I became a minister, I had a job as an outside sales rep for this manufacturing company that sold glass, a manufacturing company that made big, huge sheets of flat glass, sold them to storefronts. And I was given the West Coast territories as the sales rep for them. One of my clients, my boss told me, one of your clients, and he buys a lot of glass, he likes to go out to some inappropriate places. Like, and I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, strip joints? Like to get like drinks and stuff? He's like, yeah, sometimes I would have to do that, take him there, because that's what he liked. I was like, I won't be doing that. He's like, what? Why not? I said, well, I as a sales guy for this company, I said, my faith, I'm a Christian. I hold to God's principles. I won't, that's the old me. The new me, I won't be doing that. And so he goes, really? And he had just hired me for this company, right? He had interviewed a lot of people and he liked my resume. And he's like, okay, I'm going to hire this guy. When I told him that, he's like, I will take that customer away from you. I said, okay, no problem. So he removed that customer out of my responsibility, because I was not going to compromise that area of my convictions as a man of God, as a Christian. Amen? We all need to be willing to control the environments that we are in. And Daniel knew to do that. It's the same thing that he did, right? He said, I will not defile myself with this circumstance. And so here's the bottom line is, we do not begin our devotion and our service and all the things that need to get done just because it's a duty. We begin because we belong to Jesus, right? Our motive to do what we do is because we belong to Jesus. Our time belongs to Jesus. He is Lord. Our gifts belong to Jesus. He is Lord. Our opportunities, both current and future opportunities, belong to Jesus. His sacrifice on the cross calls us to an allegiance that enables us to belong to something bigger than we ever imagined. Remember what Jesus himself said. He's Lord of heaven and earth. I love in Matthew, we read this to everybody as we teach them the scriptures. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I like the idea that Jesus has authority in heaven and on earth. And we're going to see here in the story of Daniel how God has the authority to make things happen. He raises up kings and he deposes kings. Even today in our world, Jesus actually has authority and is sovereign over all the nations, over all the changes, over all the complexity, over everything going on. He is in charge. Amen? He is our Lord. And when he was walking around with the guys and they had a big argument about, you know, who was the greatest, here's what he told them. I am among you as one who serves. That's our Lord. I am among you as one who serves. And of course, they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. And I think in our souls, we want to be great, right? I think a lot of us desire some level of influence. I think if you don't feel that, maybe now, maybe you haven't been around a long time. I just want to show up. You know what? Participating is important, right? And God doesn't want you to be great for your own glory. He wants you to be great for his glory. But you are made in the image of God. You are an image bearer of God. So it's normal for you to have a desire inside of you for greatness. And then Jesus says, he was the greatest, of course, I am among you as one who serves, right? I am among you as one who serves. See, he's not only our Savior, he's our serving King. Most people are looking for meaning, direction. They're looking for healing, or they're looking for purpose. For me, I was an empty young guy when I came to church the first time. Not sure, I was heading in a direction, but I wasn't sure it was the right direction. I was looking for something worth my very best. If you're here today, you have found something worth your very best. Building for the ultimate King, King Jesus. Amen. You know, it was great to hear Ryan doing the communion today. I remember Ryan as a teenager out in the Inland Empire, and I had the privilege of connecting with him as a teen, talking about faith, talking about purpose, talking about mission, talking about what would make his life valuable. And you know, he as a young man knew he needed clarity and conviction and direction and purpose and something bigger in his life than just a big career. And I love to see now he works at Pepperdine, but you know, he's been an incredible advocate for young people. He was a young man when God saved his soul, and he's been an incredible advocate for other young people, mentoring the college students. Thank you, Ryan, for doing that. What happens is when God calls you into his mission and he heals you from something, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's something severe that's damaged your life. Normally, God's plan is what he is calling you out of and saving you from, he's going to employ you in that as part of his kingdom mission. It's not unusual, right? That's how he works. That's how he works. There's a great brother who has this purity group called Purity Restored, David Widener. We had him come out a number of times in the past, have him do classes on sexual purity. You know, he shares from weakness. He shares 20 years of just struggling, having such a difficult time, essentially addiction to that. And yet God saved him out of it. And now he runs, you can look him up, Purity Restored website, tons of resources. He's been a disciple and a part of our ministries for years all over the country, has helped people. God is calling you to something, to own something great when you belong to your King. Amen. Ownership is not the only identity, though, all right? It also changes how we see our tasks as servants of the King, all right? Let's look a little further at what happens here with Daniel. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. See, Daniel and his friends were not passive. They developed, they learned, they became useful. Owners of the mission aren't passive. They want to add on to the building that they have. They want to make accommodation for situations. They grow in skill to advance the mission. And church, I just want to say, so many of you do that already. I'm holding a clicker right now that works excellently, by the way, because a couple of brothers after the last time I preached, the clicker wasn't working. They're like, we got to fix that situation. And they made it happen. They took ownership and said, hey, we're going to do little things to make services awesome, right? And we have servants in here who do it all the time. So many of you guys do it all the time. Thank you for that. Thank you for what you do. The task, however, is never merely the task. The task connects to the mission. And that's my second point. The task, whatever service God calls you to, it's more than just a task. It has meaning behind it. God understands that it just takes sheer hard work sometimes to make stuff happen. But he will multiply what we put in because the task accomplishes a great cause for the mission of God. Our mission is to reveal the glory of God, to help people know Christ, to help every disciple grow in the likeness of Christ. So the question is, if our mission is eternal, and you know, a part of our soul, every one of your souls wants to make an impact on eternity. A little piece of you desires that. You're left a little empty if you're not doing that. And we have corporate owners in here. We have very wealthy people in here. And I know their lives. And you know what? They are not satisfied just building great businesses. And some of them have great businesses. But they are here even today serving, participating, giving out their life. Because they know a piece of them desires to touch eternity. Thank you for that. Every one of us understands that our tasks, our service, the things we do, they matter more. Chair setup matters. Why? Because people matter. And, you know, we want to have a place for people to sit, right? We want to have a place for people to see what's going on. We want to have a circumstance so people can experience the message of God. You know, the sound team, thank you. I know you serve early and you serve late, but it's more than just setting up sound. You got to realize when you're setting up the sound, making it work, you're allowing the message of God to reverberate in the souls of people. Maybe someone came for the very first time and have never heard how much Jesus has done for them. The sound matters because the mission matters. The sound matters because people need to hear. Greeting matters. I love our ushers. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. I love our ushers. Guys, they are awesome. And by the way, when I'm promoting these, you're welcome to join all these teams, right? That's a little bit of the goal. You're welcome to join all these teams. See, greeting matters because some people are disheartened, discouraged, and haven't had a hug in weeks, right? Some people haven't had a friendly face. Some people have come in here because their work has beat them down. So when you're kind, when you're thoughtful, when you're considerate, it matters because it's about people feeling and tasting the love of God. So we do so many things in this church. The hospitality table, of course. You're not just setting up food to fill up, you know, fill our bellies up. You are creating a place of hospitality and warmth so that the souls of people can be nurtured, not just only by the love of your smile, but by a hot cup of coffee, a nice warm, you know, pastry. And sometimes that's all they need to go, hey, this is a great environment. That felt really good. You're changing their environment. You're opening their heart. You're making a difference in eternal things. The task matters to the mission. Our teens, our singles, our children, all these are disciple-making ministries. When you enter into the children's ministry, you're part of a disciple-making ministry. And you got to understand, church, we have done great things. God intends for us to do even greater things. Let's keep reading. So Daniel serves for many years, and eventually King Nebuchadnezzar passes on, and they think that this is possibly his grandson. Now, the book of Daniel is not really chronological in all kinds of ways. It's more a picture of Daniel standing strong in this dark culture. So you have this new king, King Belshazzar, and he gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold, of silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. So out of nowhere, a hand, I don't know if it was like a bloody hand or a shadow of a hand or just a finger, but it came out of nowhere in front of 1,000 people at this huge party and was writing these words, right? We're gonna study this a little more next week. And it writes, you know, mean Tekel Parson, and wrote it in, they think, a script, an Aramaic script that none of the people in Babylon knew what it meant. They're, and the king is freaking out. He's throwing this big party, and all of a sudden this hand shows up out of thin air and writes on the wall. And he asks all the diviners and all the wise magicians and all the advisors to the king's throne to help him. But see, he was like the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar, and I guess he had discarded Daniel. He'd kind of grown out of the popularity of being a wise man at that time, because you would think that he would have been in part of the room. He would have been one of the main people, but he wasn't. He was older by then. Maybe older than me. Maybe older than you. I'm not sure how old. But he had seasoned himself for service. He had great knowledge. When we grow older, I think we can do even more. Right, I love the Old Testament when you read about Caleb, right? And Moses leading Israel at 80, and Caleb going, I'm just as strong at 80. Daniel was older now. But what was lucky for him was one of his mom or his grandma, we're not really sure, we think it was probably his grandmother, she hears the commotion, and she comes in and says, there is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. Wow. He will tell you what the writing means. There is a man in your kingdom. And so my challenge to all of us today is this. We need to become the kind of people who can be called by God for certain tasks to change the environments that we're in, the church that we're in, the family that we're in, and the culture that we're in. We need to become the person who can be called. Amen? We need to become the person who can be called. Daniel did this not because he needed recognition. He did this because he was faithful to his king. And we're going to read later, not in today's sermon, but he challenges the king right to his face, right? We're going to read this next week. He wasn't afraid to just tell him straight to the point what's going on. And it's quite fascinating, this whole story. And I'd urge you to read Daniel, begin reading Daniel. You can read chapter 5. It'll fit into next week. But you see, he wasn't a critic. He just called out the truth and made a decision to change things. Owners help solve problems. Daniel wasn't a critic. He was a problem solver. He knew what needed to be done. He knew how to solve it, and he became that person. And in here, we have a lot of people like that. We have problem solvers. Now, I want to share two specifically. I know Marshall's not here, but Michael and Marshall are incredible problem solvers, aren't they? They're incredible. I remember anytime I ask them to do anything, they don't just say, what do you need done? They think of three or four other things that might need to be done. And we dialogue on it. They're always thinking of solving problems. They are owners of the mission, owners of the calling, owners of the sound. Thank you very much. Owners of what needs to happen. That's the example. I remember calling Marshall about the park service we had a couple weeks ago. And I didn't ask him to, but he himself drove out there. He checked it all out. I had done the same thing. I was like, I was there too. He's like, I got to show. I'm going to see how it's all going to work. Then he starts thinking, should we do this? Should we do that? Maybe we could get everybody their songs on their phones. And I was like, okay, wait, I think that's a little too much for this service. But he was thinking of more things to do to make it awesome. He's the kind of person that can be called. You know, when a visitor arrives and they're your kind of person, maybe somebody shows up today. Maybe if you're here today, I'm so glad you're here. But the challenge is, does somebody that's a little bit like you come up and meet you and say, hey, how are you doing? We're all unique. We all have different backgrounds, all different nationalities, all different ages. But it's kind of nice. I remember the first time I came to church, I kind of was looking for somebody who looked like me. You guys know what I'm saying? You kind of look for somebody that looks a little like you. It's like, hey, at the time I was in my young 20s, I was looking for a, you know, kind of a beachy young guy that looked like me, right, at the time. And I found a few. And I only needed one or two. And that made me go, okay, I fit here, right? And then, of course, it's the love of all different types of people that really move the heart. But you have a role to play. You are here not just to receive, but you might be brought to church today because you're supposed to talk to somebody. Amen? You are to become the person who can be called. When someone is hurting, Maybe the struggles you have been through are the very things that God brought you to the church to explain, share the journey you've been on. All our struggles are used by God for mission and for something important. And so I want to close out today just with this, guys. The West Side Challenge of ownership, all right? We got to own it. We got to own the mission. We got to own one need. And we got to commit to one person. This is a follow-up to my lesson 2 weeks ago. We really believe in discipleship, right? Own the mission. It is my mission to help people know Christ and grow in his likeness. It is your mission, not just the church's mission. It's your personal mission. You got to own a need. Many of you already own a lot of needs. I'm not saying you add a new one, all right? But I want to say to some of you, if you haven't owned a need in the environment that you're in the culture you're in the ministry you're in, own one need and make it awesome. And again, all of us, let's commit to one person to help them grow, at least one person to help them grow personally. We do not serve in order to earn God's love. We serve because Jesus first served us. We got to belong to the King, own the mission, and become the person who can be called. Amen. Love you guys.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.